a message of sorts. I don't know if I'll take up the whole 40 minutes that we got here or 50 minutes, but I want to be of encouragement to you. Going even back into like November, December, I've really felt God has been helping me understand some things. And it's not just for me, it's for everybody here. Everybody in this building right now, it's important for you to have some understanding on worship. So Tracy, you can go ahead and bring that presentation up and I'll control it here. But we want to talk about worship. You know, there's a ton of different areas that we could get into. I can't even begin to explain to you all the different areas that people have tried to cover in different discussions and where it's at and what it's about and what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. But there's been some key things that I've picked up on just in looking through his word, listening to other speakers that preach on the topic and trying to see, okay, what does it mean for me? I know your word says it, God. I know your word says stuff about worship. Your word says stuff about everything that I need to understand and be aware of. But what does it say? What does it mean for me? How do I apply that to my life? So that's what I'm hoping that we're going to start this week. I believe that we'll have it next week as well, and taking it kind of a two-part step. So that's the way I organized it. I got all my notes for the 2 weeks on my computer here. So if I start losing interest, I'll just keep on going to the next week's. No, I will. I hope that we can split it into two different areas, and I think it's important that we understand it in two different areas. So first off, I could ask you, what is worship? What do you worship? How do you worship? And I can guarantee you we're going to end up with a million different answers, which is pretty good because we don't have a million people here. But we all have different ways that we worship and that we share our expression of God, of what we think. We also, if I can be honest, and you guys are honest, do we sometimes maybe even just a little bit worship things that we maybe shouldn't in some form? Maybe not all out as much as we maybe worship God, but there are times that we can get something in the middle of us and God that we worship at that time. For each one of us, it's going to be maybe a different level. Maybe it's something that maybe it has been a long time, and praise God for that for you. But you can think back and know of a time that you worship something outside of what God had. So when I start looking at worship, there's one thing that I think that kind of hits home for me that kind of started this, and it's this. I believe that there's a problem sometimes in our worship on Sunday mornings because I believe that sometimes we can use it as an attempt to fill the requirement or the time of worship Monday through Saturday that we're supposed to do on our own. I believe that that's a problem not just in churches that I've been in, but from hearing other ministers and other preachers and other worship leaders and other songwriters and just other people that sit in the pew on Sunday mornings, they sometimes can sense that we're trying to do what we should be doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday on a Sunday morning. And there's a difference, and that's what we're going to get into. If we are worshiping God Monday through Saturday on our own, it would be a totally different experience on Sunday morning when we come and we worship together as a congregation. A different experience. Thank you, God, that we have felt those different experiences, even in the most recent of 3 to 6 months. We can feel at times that there's a different spirit of worship that hits this place, and it's only because of God. Because God's working in each one of us, and we come in at a point ready to experience that level of worship, that as a unified body. So again, we're going to talk about that a little bit. So when I think about, okay, you know, we'll just split into three sections. This section over here is praising God one way. This section over here is praising God or worshiping God another way. And this section over here is worshiping God another way. It's no wonder if we're all trying to fill in our Monday through Saturday. And I call it a requirement because it is a requirement, isn't it? God put us on this earth to worship Him. So it is a requirement. Take it up with Him if you got a problem with that. We do it in different ways, Monday through Saturday. And if we come into church trying to do it the same way that we want to do it, or that we should be doing it, or we think we're doing it Monday through Saturday, and we want to try to do that on Sunday morning, sometimes that's just not going to feel like we're all unified. We're going to go through today the different types of ways that we can worship in the Bible. Again, take it up with God if you have a problem with it. I hope that I can explain it in a way that just kind of encourages us, and we're going to have maybe some participation too to just understand what it truly means. Because if we can get the Monday through Saturday part right, the Sunday part comes so much easier. And I will be the first to admit I am guilty that sometimes I can be up there and I can have a distraction come into my mind. Sometimes I can get up there Sunday morning at 8:30 and we can be a little distracted, or we can have thoughts going through our mind. And I can tell you the difference between when I can fully focus on God and I'm fully inundated with just things going on around me. And it's not easy with three kids. But I have to make the choice to figure out a way to get past that. And that's where hopefully we can get. So each one of us worships individually in the way we're supposed to. Okay, God gives us instruction on how we're supposed to worship. But for us to understand what worship truly is, we go to different sources. We can go to the dictionary. We can go to the concordance and look at what the Bible says about worship in different areas. But the problem is the Bible talks about worship differently. So I found it very unique when I looked at what somebody said here. This is not my own words. This is what somebody shared. They said, worship is a state or attitude of the spirit man. It's a state or attitude of the spirit man. And since it's internal and an individual action, it can and should be happening all the time, regardless of place or situation. Which tells me, and I think it comes to be true, we worship 24/7. The question becomes, what or who are we worshiping? What or who are we focusing on at that time? They back it up with John 4:21, talking about the fact that it takes, and this is talking about that it happens no matter what. You don't have to be in church to worship. John 4:21, the woman at the well. In 4:21, Jesus tells her that there will come a time very soon that it will not matter if you're on the mountainside or in the temple worshiping. It will not matter. Well, guess what? We are living in that time. We are in that time where it does not matter where we are at. You can be at the toll booth. You can be in the drive-thru. You can be at your desk. You can be in the grocery store. You could be paying your taxes and be worshiping God no matter where you're at. So, what did I say? It's who or what are we worshiping? Now, we can take this to an extreme, okay? But we've gone through the Not a Fan curriculum. We've all heard at least about the book, Kyle Eidelman, talking about what we place at different levels. And he's talking about Not a Fan, meaning that you are a sold out, you're part of the team to God. You're not just somebody who knows, you're somebody who's associated with God. But he brings up some illustrations that really hit home for me, that he found himself at one point where his daughter says, "Daddy, you cheer really loud during those football games. How come we don't cheer that loud at church?" At that point in time, who is he worshiping if he's cheering really loud? Who are we worshiping when we're shouting at the TV? Amen! You know, it's funny, but it is true. If we are not careful, we can turn that into worship. Now, it's not saying that we can't have fun. It's not saying that we can't watch our favorite sports team. We can't watch, I know Dan's not really a football guy, but he's more of a NASCAR guy, so he can watch his favorite car go around in circles. It's not saying that we can't do that, but it's where does that take precedence over God? Which one takes precedence? If you were to put it in a lineup and order them, greatest importance to least importance, it should not ever be moved up in front of God. even for a moment. You know, I can remember in December here, I was surprised for my birthday to get tickets to go to the Packer game. And I'd been there before to Lambeau Field in the summertime, had gone through the tour, and that was just a surreal experience to be able to go up there and see where these great players had played. And, you know, at that point in time, I'm sitting there going, this will be the only time I get to come up here is when there's nobody playing, you know. Well, little did I know. But I had the experience to go up there during a game day, and the difference that meant to not just to me, but to everybody else around. I mean, you get up in that type of environment, and man, holy cow, you're just swept up in what's going on, right? You are part of the crowd. You're part of, it's funny, but you are all doing the same thing. You're all doing the same thing, no matter whose team you're rooting for. You're all doing the same thing. So, totally different experience, and it changed my perspective. The first one was, how am I expected to act now in this experience? What do I do? When do I do it? I don't want to be the laughingstock. You know, I can sit there and watch the game on TV every Sunday or Saturday or Thursday or Monday, and I can yell my head off if I want. And there is a 100% chance that I will never end up on the Jumbotron or TV making a fool of myself because I'm doing it wrong. Right? Unless Ed McMahon shows up with the Publisher's Clearinghouse, but that hasn't happened yet either. I'm safe at that point. I'm safe to be able to cheer how I want, to scream how I want. But when I get with that group of people, now, what am I thinking? I don't want to say yeah when everybody else in the stadium saw that it was a no, oh, no, a nope moment. We don't want to do that. I don't want to feel, you know, embarrassed or anything like that. I won't be able to preach again if I break the remote, I think. But we have that mentality. When we get into a group of people, we have that mentality. We don't want to be the odd duck out. Well, I learned very quickly, thankfully, and it was a good game, so thank God for that. But I learned very quickly that it didn't matter what happened. When everything was going good, you cheered loud. When everything was going bad, you cheered loud. You cheered for the team, you cheered against the other team, you cheered against the officials. I don't know, at one point during that game, because it was so rainy, we were cheering for the guys waving the flags after a touchdown because those things were soaking wet. And those poor guys are going, yeah, and barely getting it up and over the top of them. And one guy just said, forget it. He dropped the flag and walked off the field. But needless to say, I picked it up kind of good, and I felt like I fit in with the exception of what I had in my cup. I'll go there. I had pop at once during the first half and warm coffee during the second half. I didn't have anything else. But I felt like I fit in pretty good. No, that's not me. But I thought for sure that must be what I looked like up in the stands, minus the beard, and I had a poncho on because it was raining. As I look at that, though, this is what I think. Maybe it's not the best that I felt like I fit in so well. I had to really evaluate last night when I'm sitting here just thinking about this over and over again. Was that a time that I possibly put something else in front of God? I don't think God would judge me because I was not at church. I was driving up to the game as a birthday present from my family. But if anything at that point during that game got between me and God, then I think we got a problem. That's what I hope we can understand with worship. So, if we ask, who do we worship? We worship God, right? We're going to make it simple. We worship God. Anybody got any disagreements with that? I didn't think so. But what I want to talk about, because we all understand we worship God, I want to talk about how do we worship? How do we worship? What action, if I put it this way, or what thought is different about the way we think of God than how we think about something else? than how we think about our favorite team, how we think about our job, how we think about even maybe our spouse sometimes. What is different about the way we think about God? And hopefully, what I hope to accomplish today is that we can think of how, what actions do we do differently? Because I can have thoughts, but if I don't put them to action, is there really that much to show for it? Probably not. So we talked about it's an internal state of mind, internal state of your spirit. Worship is should be happening all the time, but it has to be coming external somehow. Because otherwise, if you asked any of your acquaintances, you sit down at the lunch table at work, you sit down with your family members at a holiday, and you just ask this question, what do you think it is I worship? If you are not externally expressing your state of your spirit internally, they won't know, usually. And worship can be many things. Worship can be the way you respond, the way you just hold your head up high. You know, I get a kick out of listening to different testimonies, and it's not so much about what was over all done. It was how it was done, how it was said, when it was said sometimes can be just an amazing amount of worship. So what does it look like and why does it matter? Well, it matters a lot because now it's what the world sees from our internal state of our spirit. So it is important. So on a Sunday morning when we come together, we've all worshiped God or worshiped things different ways throughout the week. We're going to simplify it. I'm just going to talk about worship for God. I don't want to condemn anybody, convict anybody, because I'm just as guilty as anybody that there are things that I know in my life that get in the way between me and God on a weekly basis that I have to continually deal and work with God to fix those things. And when I think I've got that one figured out, I'm sure there's probably going to be something else because God's drawing all of us to perfection, right? So I'll be honest, it's not going to ever get easier until that day comes when we're standing in front of Him and we're perfect. But as long as we're going that way. So I'm going to talk just about worship for God. When we worship God Monday through Friday and Saturday, we can do so in our own expression so that on Sunday we come to church and we worship in unity. If we're all worshiping in our different expressions, sometimes it's going to look chaotic. But on a Monday through Saturday deal, if it's just you and God, it doesn't matter what Dawn's doing because Linda's at her house, Dawn's at her house. But I can guarantee for those two that when they get together for prayer and they got worship music going, just because I've been around them when it happens and I know for a fact that their spirits unify and they become one. They become joined almost at the hip to what God is calling them to do, where God, the Spirit, just comes and just flows through them together. We saw it on Wednesday night where God showed up and He moved. He spoke through people because we were all unified in one thing. No, we don't need to look at that picture again. We were all unified. So I want to bring our attention. Joshua 6:16, real quick. We're going through the glory days teaching. Joshua 6:16 is getting into the time of Jericho at the wall. Verse number 16. This is how, in the New Living, this is what it says. On the seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast of their horns, Joshua commanded the people. What did he command them? He said, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town." Not shout in hopes of what God would do, but shout because God gave you this town. As a corporate body, when we come together, when we worship God and we are unified in one thing, the things that God has given us from heaven is going to come straight down to earth at that time. And I can't wait for that to happen, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. This week, though, when we join together as individuals, we should be doing the same thing. When we praise God Monday through Friday, we should be praising God because of what He's done, what He's doing. last week, I'll go back here. One thing that I think is funny about that story is we all know the story of Jericho and the walls. Where'd they come from? The wilderness. How long had they been there? Well, that was second generation, wasn't it? Who's their leader? Joshua, leader number two. Can you imagine? It says in the Bible that they all joined together, and when they all joined together in unison, the walls fell. They all came from different thought processes, possibly walking out there to Jericho from camp. Oh, thank God it's the 7 day. Whoo! One way or another, we're either going to be destroyed or victorious. I would imagine, because they're humans too, that there was possibly some talk like that. But when they got unified together, when they got walking around the wall, it probably took the 6 3/4 time for everybody to be unified. Maybe that's why God said 7. But when they all joined together and just shouted their praise and worship to God, the walls came down. Because they were shouting because of what God had promised, what God had already done. He had already accomplished it. Last week we had testimonies. I don't know about you, but that testimony time of sharing was awesome. And I got to hear it twice because I had to listen to it online to see if it, or listen to it before, to see if we wanted to post it online or not. Which we didn't, and we're trying to come up with a way we can share that, but we don't want people to just live just to hear the words. We want, you know, to see facial expressions. I wish Al was here this morning, but I pray and trust that God is taking care of him wherever they're at right now. But for him to sit there and raise his hands and say, it's not over yet, I'm in pain, but God is God. And in the end, one way or the other, I win. Close the book. Service is done. What needed to be said, got said. But what's great about those testimonies is that even when I can't think about a time that most recently God was moving in my life, now I can, like I prayed earlier, that we feed off each other. We're encouraged by each other. You know what? Maybe I'm not going through a trial that's going to last 12 years or actually more, like Don was, but I now have hope because I know that God is not a respecter of persons. He will work in my life the same way that he worked in Don's life, and that if I just persevere, it's going to happen. So when we hear testimonies, that should give us not only a booster shot of worship and praise and thanksgiving for us as a corporate body, but I should take that home on Monday, and I should say, thank you, God. Lord, I don't know what's coming my way, but come Monday, come Tuesday, if something starts up that's going to be a long, drawn-out thing, I now know that I know that I know because you've worked in somebody that I know, and you will work the same way. You've worked the same way over all these thousands and thousands of years, and you're going to work the same way in my life. And now I worship you, God, because you're going to work that same way. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't even know what the situation is, Lord, but you're going to work in my life that same way. That's why testimonies are important. God still moves. When we share testimonies, we're reminded of that. So here comes the hard part, our personal time. You know, it's really great. It's really easy. You see a Benny Hinn concert. You see some guy get up there and he's been healed from whatever. You name it, it's been done. God's moved through Benny Hinn or Billy Graham or all those great evangelists. When somebody steps out of a wheelchair and walks across the stage, everybody erupts into a roar. Even people who don't know maybe all about God still know that that had to be God. But how do we take that into our personal life? Do we ask Pastor to come and do daily visits with at our house Monday through Friday, make sure that we're getting fed in the Word? No, we have to take that apart on ourselves. Here's the part that I'm excited about, because now God's Word gives us examples on how we can do that. God's Word gives us examples on how we can live a life of worship externally that all the world is going to see. So I'm going to go through this. You may have heard these. I really wish I could have found the video, because we've done a human video to a Carmen song, but it's talking about the 7 ways to praise. I couldn't even find a really good version of Carmen doing it, probably because it was done in the 80s and the 90s, and nobody had thought of HD back in 1990. So, but Carmen, he's a Christian singer in the late 80s, early 90s. He did a song about seven ways to praise, going through the Bible, seven different types of praise, and that's what we're going to go through because that's what the Bible says. These are different expressions. Most of them are found in Psalms. They're different things that we've seen David do. We've seen different kings do in the way that they react to God. But my goal is that when we look at these, we can start to say, you know what, I could do that on my way to work. I can be driving to work, and if all of a sudden I hear God just like I can't contain myself, I can let out a shout. If I hear something or I feel or sense something that I agree with, I can lift my hand up. So let's go through these, maybe quickly, maybe slowly. We'll see as God leads here. But there's no particular order to this. We're just going to go through it here, just as examples. And we'll refresh on these next week as we talk about what we do when we come in as a congregation and join as a body. But yada simply means to raise your hands. Sometimes we call this surrender. Sometimes we call this agreement. Sometimes we call this, when children's church in years past, we were always told you did one of two things. You either raised your hands or you went like this. Because if you raised your hands, your arms are blocking your neighbor. You can't see what your neighbor's doing. If you went like this, you got your blinders on. You can't see what your neighbor's doing. Because as kids, what's the first thing everybody else does? Okay, everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. They look around like, what's he doing, you know? I get a kick out of Isaac when we do that at bedtime because he always goes like this. He's lifting his hands up trying to see, okay, are we still praying? Are we still closing our eyes, Dad? What are you? But when we do it on our own, it's truly out of a reverence, a praise, out of respect. When we think of what's the first thing that happens when somebody encounters a law enforcement officer, what does that officer want to see? Your hands. And it's funny because I was talking to Dad even this week, and I've had this thought, and he's had this thought, and he's actually got a relationship with the police department, so hopefully they wouldn't react negatively to him, but he said, I just asked Sean, the chaplain liaison for the police department, I've never done this, but what would be the best way or what would be the correct way to approach an officer just sitting in a parking lot, just to go up and say, hey, how's your day doing? I just want to let you know I appreciate you. Because in the back of his mind, he's going, well, if I approach from the back, now it's a, ambush. Unfortunately, that's the day and age that we live. And if I come up from in front, now we've heard in the news that it doesn't matter. People are just doing crazy things. And that was the one thing that Sean said, obviously you keep your hands where they can see it. You're not going to hurt somebody without using your hands usually. So if they see your hands, well, when I give my hands to God, when I look at it that way, I see, man, I have nothing in my hands to give you, God, but just here. Sometimes it's, God, you know what I need. I don't know how to get it, so here. Sometimes it's, I can't figure out how to deal with this situation. I come to you, Lord. I don't have my own agenda. I don't have my own thoughts. I don't have anything. I'm just lifting my hands to you. We can see that in Psalms 42. We can see it in 2 Chronicles 7 when they were anointing the temple, when they were blessing the temple. At that point, the Levites blew out their trumpets and called everyone into worship, saying with praise. And everyone was standing there, lifting their hands, just giving praise to God. It's kind of a here. Usually we don't do it like this. Usually we do it arms out wide. We're just giving God everything. Here's an example that maybe you can keep this in your mind for when you try to think about a different way of thinking about it. If you look at a child, in fact, I can guarantee you if I brought Anna down here right now, first she'll probably say something cute, but she'll come running to the front of the church, and she'll, what will she do? She will come up and pick me up. Maybe that's a part that we're missing when we just want to, Lord, just pick me up. Just grab me, pick me up, Lord. If we continue on here, ta-da. Kind of similar. We raise our hands. But this one's a little bit different. It's not up in the air. Ta-da. Ta-da. No. It's more of an agreement. You know, you get people that are worshiping God. Did it not go through? I was going to say, that looked like a... There we go. I don't know if I did it. Maybe Tracy did it. Probably. Well, that's true too, yeah. But we can think about ta-da when people vote. I got a kick out of watching the Iowa caucuses, trying to keep track of how in the world do you keep track when you just, okay, everybody all in favor of so-and-so, and they all lift their hands. You know, I won't go political here, but it's an agreement. We see it in business meetings. We see it, you know, we would have seen it before the invention of electronics on desks, where now you know, sometimes in a board meeting, all in favor, and they just flip a little switch, red or green, you know, but same type of concept. You're lifting your hand in agreement. When somebody says something, when God does something, when God shares something, when God inspires you with some type of an idea, it's okay to just say, thank you, God. I agree. Psalms 50:23. It's a type of offering, a type of thanksgiving. Okay? When you come into contact with somebody, you know, like with Dan just now, that was a agreement of welcome. Hello. You know, Lou, I don't know, did you ever sell any cars by a handshake? Mr. Fagan's not listening. So back in the day, though, that wasn't uncommon. Some guy comes in, he wants a pickup truck. Yeah, that sounds good. They shake on it. Nowadays, you got to go through the finance man. You got to go through this guy. Oh, let me get you a deal. But when you have an agreement and you have a handshake, that is just as powerful as any signature in God's eyes. When we say God here, you know, some people say, "How?" If you listen or watch a TV evangelist, who wants this? People raise their hands because they agree. Yes, I want that. I want God to move. I want revival to take this land. I want whatever the case might be. When they lift their hands, it's in yes, I agree. I agree. It's okay when you're driving down the road and you hear something, I don't know, depending on the radio station. Sometimes I'll be listening to 91.1 to K-Love, and they got a segment on in the morning called the Encouraging Story of the Day, and some of those stories are pretty encouraging. When you hear somebody call in and say, you know what, it's not really a big story, but God did this. God's moving this way. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're moving. I agree. God is a big God. God is a powerful God. Amen. So we can lift our hands. We can lift our hand in agreement. We can outstretch it. That's the other part of this ta-da. When you outstretch your hand in prayer, what are you doing? You're agreeing. As a kid, when I grew up, when I would sit in the services in the back during like a Mark Braden camp service, and people extend your hands, my first thought, before I understood some of the other things of God, was, what does he need our help for? That's Mark Braden camp, or that's, you know, that's a man of God. What does he need our help for? But then I realized it's an agreement. Lord, I pray, I just agree with what you have in store for that person. If it's healing, if it's deliverance, if it's finances, if it's a job, if it's whatever, I agree with what's being said. I agree. Number three, this is the one that This will probably be the hardest one, maybe, for some people to get. Barak. Now we get into more kind of close quarters with God. Now I can stand on the street corner, and God could be at the other end of the street corner, and I can raise my hands. And if he saw me, he'd be able to tell that that's what I was doing, was raising my hands to God. But what happens when we're close like this? There's another form of worship, bowing, to kneel down, to lower our heads. We see that in Old Testament. We see that in the old English days, even in some of the stuff today. When the queen walked by, everybody, you remove your hat, you bow. When you meet the king and the queen, you bow. That's different in our culture. We don't see that on a day-to-day basis, but if you took this over to England, they would know that that's respect. Sometimes when we go before God, we just have to bow and just in the awe-inspiring presence of God, the awesome power, the awesome presence. It says that that's what's going to happen. We'll be surrounding his throne, singing his praise, worshiping him, bowing before him, in awe of his wonder, in awe of his power, in awe of his presence. So it might be hard to do for you, Dan. I don't want... One day, you'll be like, yeah, one day you're going to have full strength in that knee and go for it. But when we put ourselves in front of God and we just bow, God loves that. Don't do it while you're driving, but God loves that. You know what hit me this week while I thought about this particular one? Other religions do this all the time, don't they? When they go before their God, usually the posture that they take is bowing, kneeling, laying down. Maybe that's something that we need to take notice on sometimes, is how just because they're not serving the one true God doesn't mean that they're not respecting that thing or that person that they are worshiping like a God, like an all-powerful being in their minds. So we can take some notes on not just how we worship, but how other people worship. Tehillah. This is the one that your family will think you're nuts on, but this is just kind of a hodgepodge, so to speak. A stew of different types of worship, of different types of praise. You're going to take all of the seven or the six other six ones that we cover, and most of the time it's all just spontaneous. You're just going to take it and you're just going to start singing. You're going to start, something's going to bubble up inside of you, is how it's described. If you look at the scripture, something just comes out and you just can't contain yourself. You just got to worship God. Can you imagine just doing that in the kitchen? In your laundry room, all of a sudden God just hits you and the power of God just hits you and you just start, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. You start dancing around your living room. You start dancing on the way out to the car, going to work. That's worship to God. That's worship to God when it's coming from, when you just can't control that internal state any longer. It's going to flow outside of you. Psalms 23:3 is, it talks about kind of this, a spontaneous praise of his people. We can't really describe or demonstrate this. Have you ever been in a church service where just all of a sudden God's power just hits and people start singing, instruments start playing? You know what made the IHOP experience in Kansas so unique? Because that's sometimes what would just happen. People would be praying at the altar. People would be singing songs. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit would just hit. And all of a sudden, everybody at one time would become spontaneously involved in the same flow of worship over and over and over again. And people craved that. People wanted that because that's something that a lot of times we're missing. We can set aside a time for reading the Bible. We can set aside a time for praying. We can set aside a time for praise and worship in our living room. But when you say spontaneous, now you can't set aside a time for that, but you have to be willing that when God's word moves and God's Spirit moves inside you, you got to be willing to make it happen. Number five, Zamar. We do that all the time, Sunday morning. From 10:30 till 10:45, 11 o'clock, we Zamar. It's okay if you Zamar at home. You play an instrument. You play something. Think of back in kindergarten. Well, I don't think we have a bunch of shoeboxes with strings going around there, but I don't. Dan, you might. Did you see any in the trash when you're working at the schools? Think about in the times in kindergarten. Have you ever seen a kindergarten classroom's music room? That is made up of Oriental training tambourines and shoebox guitars and drums and coffee can maracas. And but when they, you know, if we did that, if we had all that noise and all that instrumentation going, we're zamaring. We're worshiping God with music. David did it all the time on his harp. When we do it out of a heart of worship, it doesn't matter what it sounds like. You know what? I don't play my guitar just to keep a tune going for you guys to sing to. I play the guitar because that's a gift that God gave me. I got a kick out of last night looking at different... Well, I was reminded of a time when I was working, I was up on the drums playing, and it took me back to a time when I was just praising God on the drums. No idea how to keep a beat, no idea how to transition from one piece to another. It was really, okay, God, here you go. I got nothing. And I was taken back to a time that I truly felt that was God. That it had to be God because I didn't know what I was doing. Most of the time, I still don't know what I'm doing. If you have an instrument, you have a talent. Maybe it's the kazoo. I don't know. If you have a talent for the kazoo, go buy a kazoo and make sure you're playing it for God. If you have just the ability just to sing, just to use your voice as an instrument, make sure you're doing it for God. I don't know what the guys behind or in front of me on Friday night coming home from work thought. Because I'm pretty sure one of the guys, probably, I think I followed him out of Coon going home into Janesville. But I heard a song on my phone start playing, and I just started singing it. All of a sudden I realized, wow, I probably look kind of goofy right now, but I didn't care. I just kept on singing, you know. I couldn't pull on my guitar and play. Usually the cops frown on that. So, but I can play with my voice. I can sing to God. Even if you don't think you sing good, don't worry. God has filters up at heaven before it hits his ears. And it joins with angels. So just pray you got some pretty loud angels if you're worried about it, okay? Number 6, Hallel. This one... We've seen it here at this church a few times, but this one is truly unique to Christians. Because we see Hallel all over the place. All over the place. At sporting events, at concerts. But when it happens in the church with Christians, or it happens in your home as somebody just worshiping God, it really doesn't matter. There's a song called Undignified that talks about Hallel worship. It basically means that you are doing it in a form that has no dignity. If you look in, I think it's in 2 Samuel. I've got it in. Okay, yep, 2 Samuel. Oh, is it up there? Yeah, 2 Samuel 6. That was when the temple, or the Ark of the Covenant was coming in to the temple, and David is dancing, and he's offending people. Because he's dancing, because he is so excited. If you read before that, there was a detour in getting the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. He's excited that it's going to finally get to the temple. He's excited that God is fulfilling what God said he was going to do. And he's so excited, he's dancing around. And if you read through the scriptures, they're saying, how could you display yourself like that? You looked foolish. Well, guess what? You know, we look at some of these people in a mosh pit at a concert, We look at the guy with a frozen beard, or if you look up crazy Green Bay Packer fans, you'll see a couple others, you know, these guys that are up there in 30 below zero with no shirts on, the big letters G-R-E. Like, you're not going to call in sick tomorrow, are you? Well, you probably are, but they are just nuts. They have lost dignity. That's how they worship their sports team. What if we worship God like that? What if we had no dignity worshiping God? Man, holy cow. Sunday mornings would be a lot more interesting, that's for sure. It'd be good, though. Finally, number 7. Shabbat. This is one that everybody can do. And it's funny because I actually had somebody tell me, it was actually a pastor that used to come to the church, and they had some deaf people. They said, deaf people can shout. Did you know that? They can get those fingers flying, those hands flying, and they are shouting what they want. Their facial expressions, the way they're doing their motions. So even a guy without a voice, that or without the ability to express in a shout what he wants, can shout. That's what this one means, just a shout. Just a shout to God. You know, when we stand up and we just have nothing else to do, usually we're combining a couple of these together. Shabbat is probably one of them that combines with almost any one of these. We can be playing an instrument, shouting to God. We can be lifting our hands, shouting to God. We can be bowing down, shouting to God. This is one that I think is the most important when I think of if most people are like me in my personal time, or most people are like me and knowing that I don't know if it's not necessarily, I'm not going to give Satan credit, but there are things that come against me every day, all day, that they want to take me off track. And sometimes it can be overpowering. Guess what? Most of all that is going on. We've heard the voices in our head. We did a Bible study on the voices in our head. That's all going on up here. I don't physically have people coming and yanking my arm trying to get me off track with God. But there are voices going on in my head that sometimes are trying to say, you can't do this. How could you? You just did this, and now you're going to go do that? How do you can't do that. And you know what? If I just start shouting, guess what all I hear is? All I hear is my shouting, my voice. And if I'm shouting to God, that's all I hear. My shout to God, it drowns out everything else. Everything else. I was on a bus trip to Madison with Josiah's class. And when the teacher spoke, they didn't just start off, you know, quiet please, quiet please. No, they just said, everybody be quiet please. We're going over train track. I've never seen a group of 4 and 5-year-olds get so quiet so fast. And it struck me as, huh. So even when all that noise is going on in my house, at my work, if I just said, God, I want you in this situation. I praise you that you're here. Even if I don't vocalize that, but I yell it in my head, it works. I drown out what's going on around me. There's an amazing power when we take just these seven different ways to praise and put them into effect in our life. Amazing. Because now we're taking what we feel on the inside and we're expressing it on the outside. We've done it all our lives. With kids, that's the hardest thing to control. Trust me, I'm in the middle of it right now. Is how do you take what's on the inside and let you do it on the outside in a way that's proper? That's not disrespectful. One of the kids gets upset. Blood-curdling scream. Oh, okay, well, we know that you're upset now. Let's see if we can find out why. And how can we adjust that response to make it a little more peaceful because we're in a restaurant? No. When we express what's on the inside externally, not only do we take notice, but everybody else around us takes notice. If we start doing that, we will have freedom in most Sunday morning services to be able to join in. And we're going to go through some different Bible stories, things that happened, actually happened, when the group of people got together. We touched on it a little bit with Jericho, but there's even other stories of when people united in worship for God, amazing things happened. Amazing things happened. So that's what we're going to touch on next week. I want to end, though, today just asking you, just think about your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedule. The time you spend with God, the time you spend driving, the time you spend working with other people, the time you spend here and there before you go to bed. Think of all those times and just think, what would my life look like if I was doing outward worship to God right there at home? What would it look like? I can guarantee you it would not get any worse than what you feel like you already are. If you feel like you're not doing it enough by doing outward worship, if you feel like you're struggling in the area of worship in your life to just giving God praise for everything, by doing it outwardly, it's not going to make you feel any worse. If you feel bad about how you worship, you shouldn't feel bad about how you worship as long as you're trying to do better. I'll be honest. There are more times that I should be worshiping God. That's the truth. That's the honest answer. My goal is to start to get to that point where God put something like that, like, you should be worshiping me right now instead of doing this. And I start worshiping God. And I hope that it's external, because I want to build myself up, but I want God to be able to point somebody in my direction, say, that's worship to me. That is worship to me. The way we respond, the way we act, when something happens, all of us have battles throughout our week, right? Something's always going to come up that's going to give us the ability to maybe respond angrily, respond frustrated, feel hurt, lose a little bit of hope maybe in a certain situation. If we respond with worship to God because we know what he's done, remember those testimonies last week? God will work in your life the same way. And it doesn't matter what is going on. There's things that happen when we worship. I think I want to jump. Yeah, I don't want to jump too fast over that. We'll leave with this here, just as a foreshadow of next week. 2 Chronicles 20:22. When we worship God as a group, mighty things can happen. We'll talk about the story, but just a brief description. This is a verse that comes out of a battle that King Jehoshaphat was king over. Three enemies coming at him, and when the very moment they began to sing and give praise to the Lord, all three armies started fighting amongst themselves. And they didn't even have to raise a sword. And we'll talk about that story, but it goes on to say that they got over to the lookout where they were going to see the enemies at them. And all they saw were bodies because they had killed all of each other. That's the type of worship I want. I want to be able to worship God to the point that when I get up to the point where normally I would see the face of danger, I see the result of God instead. So hopefully this is encouraging. We can never learn too much. We can never focus too much on any one subject with God, because God's always bringing new things to our mind. Worship is one of the most basic instincts that we have. Even as little children, as you start to grow up, they fixate on certain things. And I can't say that it's necessarily bad, because they don't understand the priorities of worship. But instantaneously, their mind starts gravitating towards certain things. And one child may like this, and another child may like this, and that's what they want to fixate on. And they start joining together with people who are fixated on like things. And that's how they build their group of friends. And when those group of friends that are fixated on that one thing start doing things together, now you start to see shifts in the culture. That's a big overhead view synopsis of just how powerful worship can be. But I want to get it. My point is that it's ingrained in us. It says that man was created to worship God. We were created to worship God. So we want to give you an opportunity to worship.